Have I told you guys that I love you? Have I told you lately that I love you? Amen. So today is a special Sunday, perfect Sunday to preach a message I am going to preach. I'm not going to actually preach a message. I'm going to talk to you about our vision. And the topic is called New Life 30 Years Vision 2012. All right? So today I want to talk to you guys about our vision. What is New Life Church? Where are we going? What do we want to accomplish? Amen? I want us to start by reading a scripture. I'm not going to yell at you today. I'm not going to, spit, hopefully. I might whistle once in a while, but that's, amen. Let's open our Bibles today to Proverbs 29:18. Actually, I'm just going to quote it for you. It says this, without vision, people perish. Okay? Where there's no revelation or no vision, people cast off restraint. I know it's kind of hard to understand that translation, but a simple translation is this. Without a vision, people perish. Sometimes without a vision, we're like sheep. We scatter and we don't have a direction where we're going. Now, what is a vision? It's an ability to imagine future. It's an ability to see what's going to happen in the future. It's what's up the road ahead. Okay? Vision is like an ability to predict the potholes before you drive into them. You know, some of you, like my wife, no, I'm just kidding. She drives and just, baby, pothole, where? We drove over it already. That's not the kind of vision we're talking about. We're talking about vision for first seeing certain things in our life. Rick Warren says this, vision is an ability to see opportunities within your current circumstances. Do you know that the reason why we have mortgage crisis in America and we have bank and financial crisis in America? It is entirely due for lack of vision. People were buying homes they could never afford. People were buying homes going on the feeling that they had at that moment, not thinking about what's going to happen in the future. Now, yes, some people were duped into these crazy loans, but most people are not that stupid. I'm sorry. We're very educated, probably the most educated nation in the world. So we can't claim ignorance because we know there's a lot of information out there. Amen? And so what happened was, and we have friends like that, they would buy houses with, she was a clerk or he was making cabinets or, you know, a simple, you know, job. And they would buy a house for $300,000-$400,000. No down payment. $2,500 payment a month. You can't sustain it. You can't be a clerk and buy a $900,000 house and think that somehow it's going to happen for you. You can't even use God in this. You can't say, I believe God is going to provide for my dream house. No, God gives people wisdom. Amen. And he says, if you reject wisdom, the wisdom will reject you. If you reject wisdom, you will be foolish. You'll make foolish decisions. The thing about wisdom, it's everywhere. Bible says about wisdom this. It speaks on behalf of wisdom. It says, wisdom cries out on the corners of the streets. You know, wisdom is crying out from your TV. There's good advice somebody's given on TV. If you have internet, wisdom is crying out from internet. Every time you open, there's wisdom trying to get in. Will you listen or will you reject it? And so a lot of people get in trouble is because we lack wisdom. Do you know that wisdom is a tool? Vision. You know that vision is a tool. God has given every human being a tool that's been put up inside of them called vision. If you use it, it will support you and bless you. If you don't use it, If you break the laws of vision, it'll work against you. That's just how it works. So number one, no organization can achieve long-term success without a vision. Your life needs a vision. Where are you going? Are you going to go to school? Are you going to go to college and work, you know, in government job? Or are you going to work in school? Or are you going to work in business? What are you going to do? You need a vision. Every family needs a vision. Where do we want to be in 5, 10 years? How many kids do we want to have? How many, what kind of jobs do we want to have? Do we want a single income home, or do we want a two-income home? We need a vision. Amen. Your work, your business, your career needs a vision. You need to sit down and think, where am I going to go? Where am I going with my life? Not just living like whatever happens, happens. That's irresponsible way of living. And as a Christian, you know that God wants you to live by faith. What is faith? Faith is believing for something greater. Faith is vision for better, for your future. And God wants you to have a vision for your life. Another scripture talks about it, and we'll read it. It says, write the vision. It's in the Bible. God is speaking to his people. He says, write the vision, make it plain, and it will happen. Amen? So your business, your career, your job needs a vision. Most of all, church is an organization. And church without a vision is like sheep without a direction. We're just all scattering. We're doing, we don't know what we're doing. Before we know it, we start eating each other's grass. Then we start biting each other and kicking each other and things like that. So every church needs a vision. That's what I'm talking about today. Now, hopefully, by hearing how I present this vision, you can go home and write your own vision. You need it. Otherwise, how do you know when you get there? A friend said to me this. He said, all I need in my life is to be happy is a little house. And it was like a 600 square foot house. You know, one of those old houses kind of in. And he's like, that's all I need to be happy. And obviously, he will get that house. But if he doesn't write it down, he won't know that that's what he said 2 years ago was going to make him happy. And now it will be like, okay, all I need is this. All I need is this. We need to write things down, what we want. And we need to give God glory after he gives it to us. Because he will give it to us. When I was 18 years old, I want to tell you this story a little bit. A few days ago, I was looking through my CDs, and music has such a powerful effect on us. I'm telling you. I was looking through my CDs, and I found a CD that I was listening to when I was 18 years old. And when I was 18 years old, I was broke. I was just starting out in life. Like everybody else, I had dreams. I wanted to have a family. I wanted to have a house with a pond, you know, and things like that. And you know how what is your dream? And I haven't listened to that CD since I was about 20 something. Because I know when I was dating my wife, I introduced her to that CD. and so I haven't listened to at least 10 years, maybe more. And when I turned on that CD, it hit me so hard. All of the emotions that I felt then, all of my dreams, I'm shocked how much power music has in our life. Music will bring you to where you were, especially when you were young. And the thing is, everything I thought, everything I desired, everything, my vision that I dreamed of, I look at my life today and it brought tears into my eyes because God has given me better than what I envisioned. Vision is powerful. And you don't know how I praise God in my car. When nobody's there, I can really praise the Lord. If you know what I mean. I got to be nice and polished for our guests and for new people, you know, and look all calm. But man, when I'm there by myself, oh, hallelujah. Sometimes I forget how I got to where I got because I'm like, I drove like 5 miles. How? There was red lights, and did I just go through them or something? Have you had those moments When you are in the presence of God and you worship, oh man. And so God is a good God. He wants to give you desires of your heart. Amen. But you got to have a vision. You got to know where you're going. You know that no organization is more important in the world than the church. No organization will last forever except the church. You know that kingdoms come and go. Persian Empire, Greek Empire, Roman Empire, Assyrian Empire. Kingdoms come and go. Companies come and go. Just recently we heard on the news that Sears is closing a lot of stores. 50 years ago, Sears was the thing, man. It was the bomb. It was like, yeah, Kmart was the big thing. Even 20 years, Kmart was like the thing. And now, they're being bankrupt. So no organization lasts forever. Even organizations like Apple or Macintosh or PC or Bill Gates, what does he... Gateway, or, well, yeah. Yeah. Microsoft. These organizations will not last forever. Eventually, they will be replaced. But not the church. Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. See, I care about your education. I care about your life. I care about your family. I care about your finances. Yes. But above them, I care about where you're going. Who is the Lord of your life? What's going to happen to you when you die? That's more important. Because if we believe the Bible, if we believe God, there's eternity waiting. You will not die. You will live forever. So when people tell me, how could God allow so many people to die? They're not dead. What do you mean to die? God sees them in physical form, and then he sees them next to him in spiritual form. Actually, he sees their spirit as much as he sees their body. In heaven, they get a new body, so nobody's ever dead, people. Nobody's ever died. So when people tell you, how did God allow so many children to die? They're not dead. They're just in his presence. Yes, it's sad for us, but look at from the point of view of God. They just changed countries. They lived in Europe, now they live in America. They're not dead. I mean, you know what I mean? They lived in South Dakota, now they live in Texas. Okay. Oh, we're so crying, like, oh. Yeah, it's hard for us because we miss them, our relatives, my grandparents and your grandparents. But listen, they're not dead. Nobody ever dies. We were made to be eternal beings. You can't kill a spirit. That's why God can't even kill Satan. He has to bind him and put him in a pit of hell. But no, nobody ever dies. Amen? You will live forever. So don't fall for the trap when people say, if God was so good, how did he allow so many people to die? No, they're not dead. And if God is so good, why does he allow suffering? Yes, suffering is horrible. We all go through it. But guess what? Compared to eternity, God says it's a temporary thing. It's like being pinched. Yeah, it hurts right now, but I forgot about it already. Pinch yourself. Just pinch yourself. Just pinch yourself lightly. Does it hurt? Does it hurt now though? After you... No. Did you forget about it? See, when we look at things with a view of now, we're such a time being. But God is talking about eternity. Forever and ever and ever. Billions of times billions, 10 billions of years will never end. Forever. And he says, Paul says, these temporary sufferings are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. So yes, we do suffer. We do have compassion. We do become better people. We do love people who are suffering. Because we suffer too. Everybody suffers to one degree or another at different times. And so we should love one another. We should be compassionate. And God is working out compassion in us and things like that. But compared to eternity, it's nothing. It's a pinch that you forgot. How many times have you been pinched in your life? You can't even remember. Bible says you won't even remember those horrible suffering you call now in eternity. You will not remember them compared to the glory. Be real. How did we get out of our scripture? So the most important organization in the world is the church. And church is not a building. Church is the people. Bible says when two or three are gathered together in His name, that's the church. That's the people. And so I care about your material being and health being and spiritual being here on earth. But most of all, I care and God cares about your soul. God was willing to kill His Son, Jesus. Have Him crucified so you can be saved. So you can have peace with God. Amen? And see what sin does, and I said this on Christmas Eve, it separates us from God. And a lot of times we say, God, why are you distant? Why are you... Look at your life. It's never God. It's many times it's us. So the most important organization in the world that will last, and it will last for another 1,000 years if Jesus doesn't come, is the church. So, what do I believe God wants New Life Church to look like? Number one, He wants our church to be built from people who were far from God. Now, this is a big deal because we didn't start New Life Church, Tanya and I didn't start New Life Church to go and get people from other churches. So when I stand before God, He'll say, what did you do, Pastor Alex? And I'll say, hey, I was a good thief. You know, I got a little, I got a group from over here. I got a small group from over here. I got a small group from over here. And I was big and I was this and that. No. It was never our intention. When Tanya and I started this church, the church that we were leaving, we only went to one church before that. All of our life. I did, at least. She married me, so she had to come to my church. But anyway, she was from Minneapolis. And when we were leaving, we made a commitment and we made a promise to the church we used to go to. We said that intentionally, we will never steal people from other churches. We will never go and intentionally recruit people from other churches. Our goal at New Life was always to bring people who don't know God into close relationship with Jesus. Now, if people who don't have a church, they're Christians, but they don't have a church. For whatever reason, you know, they had a bad experience with their church. We're going to welcome them 100%. But we're not going to go and say, hey, Tony, you would fit in my church better. Come on, quit your church and come to my church because I want a big church. No, there's over 70,000 people in our city who don't have a church home, who don't go to church. We don't need to focus on other people's foundation. We need to focus on what God called us to do. And that's to go out and reach those who don't have a home. Now, of course, we're going to welcome everybody who comes. But we're not going to recruit people. Amen? That's the vision of New Life Church. In Romans chapter 15, verse 20, guys, let's put that up there. It says this. Paul says this. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. So Paul is saying, I made it my purpose. I made it my vision to preach the gospel where Christ was not named. Where Jesus is not preached yet. Where they haven't heard yet about Jesus. Okay? Lest I should build on another man's foundation. Paul says, I don't want to build on anybody else's foundation. I don't want to steal sheep from this church and this church and this church. I want to go and reach. So New Life Church, the reason we're here is because God wants us to reach people who are far from God. Amen. Let me tell you what we have done so far. When we started New Life Church, we were a church for Slavic people. That's Ukrainian, Polish, Bosnian, Russian, all those Slavic nations. Amen. And what we did was we had a vision to reach them. We didn't want to church people. We want totally unchurch people. And so what we did, we went to a social service, Lutheran social service, and they wouldn't give us any names. Okay? We tried to bribe them, but no. But they wouldn't give us any names. So guess what we did? We went to a phone book and we had our people, Tanya, me, a few others, and we would go through every name. And if it sounded like it was Russian or Slavic or Ukrainian or Polish or something like that, we would, you know, circle that, write it down. And we got a list about of 150 people or so, or maybe, you know, and we would call them and some of them were like, no, we're not. Stop calling me. You know, they were not. Some of them just had the last names that looked like it. And so over that period of a year, we reached the whole Slavic community as any name that we could find. But the community was not big. And so what we did was we sent them a Jesus DVD, a film, movie. Any of you seen a Jesus movie? It wasn't The Passion of Christ. The Passion of Christ didn't come out yet. But it was... you know, Jesus, we send it to them. We would call them. We would say, hey, come to church. You know, Jesus loves you. And what happened was we reached some of them, mostly the old ladies and old men. They would come here and they would sit in the back. And before you know it, they started dying. They started dying. We would reach the old people and we would reach the terminally ill people. Because, you know, we were working with a former communist mindset, atheists. 70 years, they were trained that there's no God. And here, this 24-year-old guy and a 19-year-old girl, is that what you were? Yeah. Telling him about Jesus, come and be saved. And so they came and some of them laughed at us, you know, and some of them received Jesus. And I can tell you this, that there's people today in heaven. Let me tell you this. There's old ladies. Well, they're not old anymore. They're alive and young, beautiful. They're in heaven today because of this church. Amen. It's not a big number because we had only 150 to work with. Total. We would have concerts for them. We would have food luncheons for them and things like that. And then God spoke to us and said, that's it. You're done. I did my work here. Move on. And he told us to reach a greater community. He says, I want you to be a church that reaches not just Slavic community, not just Spanish community, all people. There's people in this city who need Jesus and only you can reach. I want you to reach them. And so New Life Church does not want to grow from just people who have been saved long time, who come here from another church, although we welcome everybody. Can I say that? Did I say it enough that we welcome everybody? I want this church to grow because you are inviting people who are far from God. Amen. Jesus said this, Luke chapter 5, verse 31 and 32. Guys, let's put it up. And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's our vision. We're not here to call the righteous. Hey, you know, you're good already. Let us make you a little better. No. We want to go radical. We want to go all the way. We want to call sinners to repentance. Amen. Hallelujah. There's 70 plus thousand people in our community, you know, in a 30-mile radius. There's even more. There's like 100,000 probably who are far from God. And you can reach Him. Amen. Number two, God wants New Life Church to be a big church. Let me say that again. God wants New Life Church to be a big church. You know how first church started? It started with 12 people. Jesus and 12 people. 12 guys. Then it grew to, you remember how many? 70. You remember Jesus sent 70 out by two. That's about a size of our church right now on average. 70 people. Yes, we had a big service Christmas Eve. We had to bring chairs, which is good. But on average, we've had... And by the way, we had 32 salvations on Christmas Eve. Amen. And so it went from 12 to 70. From 70, it went to 120. And on the day of Pentecost, do you remember? When the Holy Spirit came down, church grew to 3,000 people. If First Church is the model for all the rest of the churches, then we've been in a stage of 12. We are now in a stage of 70. Our goal is to go to a stage of 120. And after 120, let God do what He wants to do. Do it, Jesus. Amen. So our goal is this, is for every unbeliever in this community to hear of the good news, not from some other church, but from our church. We want all the people who are far from God to hear the good news of Jesus' salvation, of Jesus who changes lives from this church. Now, every church in this community does that, which is great. But we want to not kind of say, okay, they do this, they do this, they do this, and we'll just do this part. No, no. We're going to take the whole responsibility. Amen? And so, why do we even care? Because the love of God lives in us. And God loves people. That's why we do this. We didn't start this church for financial reasons. Tanya and I were already financially doing good. We just had a passion. When I saw people, especially the guys I worked with, struggling so much, going from job to job, couldn't keep a job, being on drugs, smoking weed, coming to work, stealing. I saw their families falling apart, and I grew up in a community that sheltered me. You know what I'm talking about? I was like, Lord, people need Jesus. People need what I have to say to them. So no, we're not just like any other church. No, we're not better than any other church. That's not what I'm saying. But we have something special. Amen? Hallelujah. So God wants this church to be big. When God created Adam and Eve, He didn't say, I just want you guys to have fun together. And that's it. No, God says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. So I see in the future this to be over 1,000 people church. I really do. I see us having multiple services in multiple locations in different corners of the city. Yeah, this should be one of our locations. Now, I'm not planning to stay here forever. I hope this is just one of our locations. Central downtown location. It's kind of nice. But we're going to have multiple locations, multiple services. Amen? So, our goal is to reach thousands for God. Number three, I see New Life Church as being multiracial, multinational. I see it being all kinds of social and financial statuses. I do not want this church just to be white. I want this church to be all colors, all races, all people. I want it to be in the audience as in leadership. I want this church to look like heaven does. Heaven is going to be made of all nations, all people. So I want New Life Church to be a colorful church. Amen? Psalm 2:8 says, ask of me and I will give you the nations. I've asked God for the nations. I pray that you pray the same prayer. God, give us the nations. And you know what? Sometimes we want to go and preach the gospel in China, in India, in South America. But you know what? There's nations in our city. Our city is very diverse. You know, we're going to have a lot of success when we invite people from other nations to our church. They will automatically connect because we have people from other nations here. Amen? So don't be afraid to invite everybody, all nations, all people. Number four, I want this church to be relevant for the whole family. Jesus was relevant. He would speak to kids. He would speak to older people. He would speak to young people. I want us to be a church your children and your teenagers love to attend with you. I want to say this again. I want us to be a church that your kids and your teenagers love to attend here with you. Sometimes when you're tired and you had a bad week and you don't want to go, your kids say, come on, mom, come on, dad, we got to go. All my friends are in that church. That's what I want your children to say about this place. Amen. And who would you rather have your friends build relationship with? People who believe like you? Parents who teach their children like you do? Who have the same theology? Or people who totally... I missed that. We will have some drug dealers, guys, though, in here who are going to be saved. Who are going to be saved. He says he's saved already, so hallelujah. Amen. So I want this church to be relevant for the whole family. I want us to have relevant preaching, preaching that challenges you, and also preaching that you can apply on Monday in your regular life. I want us to have a contemporary worship. I want us to be loud, where the younger crowd would love it. Now, I do have, this is weird, because I do have a heart for old classic songs, maybe hymns. I do have a heart for it, but it's so hard to do. It's so hard to mix them together. Maybe our worship team, you know, when they mature to that level, maybe they'll somehow make an old song like How Great Thou Art or something and make it into a new cool hip style or something. I don't know. But there are songs out there that I just love, the old songs. And if we could somehow make it work, it's up to you guys though. But it's going to be a contemporary worship. So number five. I want a church that cares about your family. I want to be a church that cares about your family. Do you know that God wants you to have a happy marriage? As New Life Church, we provide free marriage counseling or premarital counseling or, you know, whatever counseling you need. What? Okay. we got another preacher here. Second. God wants you to raise godly children. We want to be the church that comes kind of come aboard with you on that. We want to help you with that. Now, we're not taking responsibility for raising your children. God has given you that responsibility. That's your job. But we want to come aboard and help you and do whatever we can. And we want to provide a place where your young people and your children can build relationships and friends with. Sometimes in school, they might not build the greatest relationships. But we want another place where your kids can find a social place to hang out. Do you know that God wants you to be debt free? Our church cares about your family. We know how much problems debt causes in people's life. So we want to teach you how to be debt free. Amen. God wants you to be healthy. We're not there yet. But eventually we want to talk about health and have something practical about how to stay healthy. Yesterday, guys invited me to play basketball with them. And I played for 15 to 20 minutes. And I was good in those 15 to 20 minutes. But after I sat down, I almost fainted. And I went home right away. So I know how God wants us to be healthy. Amen. When we're physically healthy, our brain, our emotions are healthier as well. God wants you to have good relationships. Amen? As a church, we want you to have healthy relationship. God wants you to volunteer in your local church. God wants you to be generous. God wants you to go on short-term mission trips. God wants you to take a vacation. So we as a church, we wanna include all that. We are the church, listen to this, that cares about your family. We don't just care what happens to you on Sunday, that you are here. Yes, great. I want to know that this Bible is changing your life. You know what the Word of God says? If you obey to the Word of God, God will make you prosperous. God will increase you. God will give you desires of your heart. I want to know if you're prospering. I want to know if you're becoming successful. And this is not a message of prosperity. We're not a prosperity church. But if it's in the Bible, we're going to preach it. Amen. So we want to be the church that cares for your family. Number six. God wants you to burn with passionate love. So listen to this. We want this church to be the most loving church it could be. In two ways. I want this church to be a church that loves God. And I want this church that loves people. I want, if I were to have it my way, and if I wanted to create, or if I wanted to know what people said about this church, outside of this church, I want them to say this. This is the most friendliest church in the city. I want it to be, this is the nicest people, the happiest, joyful people. You know what? I don't want people, I don't want just greeters to greet people when people come in. I want every member of this church, everyone who sits here, to be a greeter. I want you to come to somebody and make a big smile and love him with the love of Jesus and greet him and tell him welcome. Tell him we've been waiting for them. They belong here. We want them here. We want people here. There's nobody who comes here that we will say, you're not welcome here. I've heard somebody said, this person does not belong in this church. He's so messed up. Exactly. He belongs here the most. Amen? We want the messed up people. And with messed up people, we'll have a lot of messed up things happening. You know, we kind of, in church, church people like their perfect families and perfect children. Well, we'll have a lot of people who are, in our culture, people don't get married anymore. Do you know that CNN poll showed a few weeks ago that only 51% of people are married? Right now? That's a lot of people. So we'll have a lot of people here who are almost married. You know what I mean? You know what almost married means? And I don't want you to be judgmental. I want you to love everybody because we don't want to force anybody to marry. We want them to know the love of God. And once they know the love of God, guess what? They'll see. They know what they need to do. So we'll have a lot of almost married. We'll have people who've been divorced. We have people who've been divorced. And we want them here. It's not going to be, if you divorce, you're less than... No. We want you here. We love you. If we're going to be church for the unchurched, you see what I mean? If we're going to be church for the church people, yes, then we need everything perfect. We need to hide our sins, previous sins, and we need to look good. But if we're going to be the church for the unchurched, come on, let's drop our masks, religious masks. Let's stop masquerading. Let's stop hiding and let's just accept people. I want this church to be a no judgment zone. We don't judge people. We love people. Whatever your past is, I want this church to be a second start for people. I want this church to be a new beginning. I want you to have a new life. Bible says, he who is in Christ is a new creation. I want this church to be a fresh start. We're going to have a lot of messed up people come into our church. Invite them. Because they need Jesus. They need Jesus. Oh my goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. I want this church to be the church that passionately loves people. Now, let me tell you how we're going to do this. Some churches feed people. Okay? I don't necessarily feel like we're going to open a soup kitchen. We don't even have a place to open a soup kitchen here. We're going to partner up with people in this community who are already feeding people and help them do it better. You know, if they're doing good, why would we want to compete with them? Why not just come aboard with them? What I want this church to do, however, I want us to help people find a job. Some people help feed people. Some help clothe people. Some organizations help whatever. I want us to be a church that helps people find a job. That's what I want to be known for. If they would say, what is New Life Church? Who is New Life Church? They're the kindest people. They're the nicest people. They're the loving people. That's kind of one category. Second, they help you get a job, man. Go there. I know we're not equipped right now to help a lot of people, although we have helped a lot of people with jobs. But in the future, I want to have the whole department. That's all they do, is help people find a job. It's one thing to feed a person. They'll come again. I want, like God wants people to be independent. God wants people to be free. And when you get your own job, when you take your own responsibility for your own future, you don't need to wait for the government or for the church or for the Salvation Army. You don't have to go like this, please. No. You can have your dignity. You can walk as God has created you. So this is what I want New Life Church to be known for. A church that helps people get a job. I really do believe it. Working with a lot of people over, my last 15 years, I've seen that people just need a job. But you know what? Job is not enough. It's if their spiritual life is not built as well. Because what happens, you'll have a job and you'll spend all the money on booze or drugs. And you waste it. So I want it to be hand in hand. As your spiritual life is growing, so is your career life is growing. You see, that's one thing. There's organizations out there that help people get a job. But I want to somehow incorporate it. And we've talked about that. Having some kind of a job fair. And where we would bring people who rose up from nothing. Who were totally broke. And how Jesus, or who were rich and then lost everything. And they came to Jesus and Jesus changed their life. I know many people like that. You know many people like that. So I want it to go hand in hand. Amen? So I also want to be a church where we inspire people to go greater. If you wanted to open a small business, we want to inspire you to do that. There's stories here from people who never finished high school and who became very successful, who started their businesses and now are doing very well. Amen? And they're not working for anybody. They're working for themselves. And you know in America right now that people change jobs about every 2 years on average? The statistics is most people will not stay at the job. Like before, 30 years ago, people would stay for 40 years at the job. They would get a watch and a pension. Not anymore. Not anymore. People don't stay at a job so long. So most likely, if you're working for somebody, eventually either you get fired or you get tired and you quit. But if you're working for yourself, you can't fire yourself. Amen. And nobody else can fire you. Amen? So we want to encourage you in that area as well. We want you to believe bigger. And that might not be this year. Might not be, 5 years. God has a plan for everybody. Not everybody's going to be a business person. Some people will work for somebody. But just know that's the statistic. Some people will work for themselves. And there's other traps there too. But we want to be the church that encourages people. Number 7. So what do we want our church to be known in community? Number 1, I already said, friendless church in town. Every member is a greeter. Starts in a parking lot, goes to all the way here. 2, church that cares about your children and your teenagers. 3, church that preaches the truth in a relevant way. Church with lots of marriages and babies. A lot of successful marriages and babies. Amen. And we've just had... in the last week, we had 2 engagements, 2 proposals. Yeah. And there's a couple babies on the way too. And so hallelujah. So church with a lot of marriages and babies. Church where Jesus is worshipped passionately. Church that raises leaders. Where pastors care about the people. And church where people become successful. That's what I wanted to say about our church. When they say, who is New Life Church? They raise leaders. They're nice. They're very friendly. They love people. They help people get a job. They help people become successful. And I can't do this on my own. So I have divided this vision into 3 decades. Because some of you think, oh, next month we're going to do this. Hallelujah. Some of your visions are like, 2 days, in 2 days I'm going to be a millionaire. No. That's not what God says about vision. You'll be disappointed in 3 days. Very disappointed. You'll be depressed if you write a two-day vision. Let me show you what God says to how, what kind of vision you need to write. Listen to this. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on a tablet. If a vision is not written on paper, it doesn't exist. Listen to me. If your vision is not written on paper, it doesn't exist. It's a dream. It's not a vision. So write the vision, make it plain on a tablet, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet appointed for a time. For the vision is yet for an... For the vision is yet for an appointed time. You don't know the time. God knows the time. And listen to this. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. Tarry means delays, right? So most visions will be delayed. God says, although it delays, it might not come this year. It might not come. So that's why we make a big vision for three decades of vision. Okay? So I divided this vision of ours for three decades. First decade, which started in January 2011. Now, some of you are like, why? Why? The church has been here longer. Before that, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't even have a vision. We were just coming together and worshiping, and that's it. We weren't going anywhere. We were just, come on Sunday, great, worship, goodbye. But now we actually have a vision. And it started in, the first decade started in January 2011. And it's simple. First decade is called a reach decade. Reach. Say it, reach. Reach people. First decade is a reach decade. Our main focus will be for this decade from 2011 to 1221 will be I was going to say 2121 or something. Will be for the next decade, our goal is this, is to reach people who are far from God. That's our number one priority. Now, it doesn't mean that we will not disciple people. That doesn't mean that we won't go on missions trip. That doesn't mean that we won't start other churches. I hope we plant a church, first church in this decade. But our number one priority will always, for this decade, this is second year of that decade, will be to reach people. Amen. Most churches don't grow because we have a whole bunch of saved people who are trying to get better. No. I don't want you to get better. Get better on your own. And God will always get you better. This is what I want you to do. I want you to become a seed that will be sown into this community and that will flourish and produce fruits. That's what God wants you to be. And that's what I want you to be. I don't want you to just come here and say, Pastor, make me better. I'm not good enough. You'll never be good enough. So if you wait till you are good enough to preach, to tell people about Jesus, you'll never be good enough. So God says, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. There's not enough of people. I want our church this decade to be a church that reaches to this community. Whichever avenue God opens for us. But first of all, it's personal testimony. It's personal witness. All right? And we want to grow. I believe in this next 9 years, we should be able to grow to 1,000 people. I really do believe that. God is, of course, in charge of the growth. So we don't grow, but we tell people. We work with God. You can plant a tree. You can, prune a tree. That's your job, right? You can water the tree, but you can't make it grow. Who makes it grow? God. You can't make it produce fruit. Who makes it produce fruit? God. But if you don't prune it, if you don't protect it, the deer will come and chew the bark off it. Amen? And then the tree will die and it will not produce fruit. So we work together with God. But just know that we're not responsible for the growth. God is. We're responsible for our part, is making sure that we close every hole for it not to grow. Second decade, and I got 3 minutes, is this: teach. Okay, so first decade, we're going to focus on reaching people who are far from God. Second decade, I want us to focus on teaching people. I want this church, this 1,000 people that God will give us, I believe, I want them to be the most mature people. I want them to be the most successful people. I want them to be the people where their families are successful. Because, you know, when we first start, there's going to be a lot of dysfunction. All right, this one. But in 10 years, I want to go to the next stage. I want to really hit discipleship stage. That doesn't mean we're going to stop the reach stage. But we're going to add, actually. We're going to add discipleship stage, where we're going to focus a lot on building people up, making sure that they're the most spiritual, most God-fearing people that we know. Third decade. And that's going to be the decade where we send out. We take the people that God has given us. And there might be more than 1,000. I don't know how many people God will give us. And I want to send them out all over the world. I want them to go on mission trip all over. I want them to change the world. I want us to plant churches. Not that we don't want to plant a church in our first decade. Yes, we do. But in this decade, I hope we're planting a lot of churches. And then we start over again, probably with different leaders. Amen. Amen. So reach. So what decade are we in right now for New Life Church? First, we are in reach. We are focused. All of our groups, all of our youth, all of our kids, everything is focused on reaching people. Because that's number one. If we can't reach, how can we teach? Who are we going to teach? I don't want to teach you. You know a lot already. Besides, you're mature enough where you can feed yourself. You can go on the internet and find a sermon to listen to. You can find a book to read to. You can read your own Bible and pray. So really, I don't need to teach you anymore. I want you to be a seed that is sown in this community. What Jesus did, he took 70 people and he said, go to all the communities, all the cities, and preach the gospel. No. Okay? First decade is reach, second decade is teach, and third decade is send out. That's a long time, isn't it? Some of you who are 20 right now, you'll be 50. Amen. Some of us will be going, but our kids will be going with us. And for some of us, it's grandkids too. Amen. Amen. So how do we get started? I'm out of time. I gotta close. I can't keep you here. We'll pick it up next week, and yeah, that's not fair. Guys, you gotta come back. I'm sorry, I have to cut this out because some people are not like you, and I appreciate you loving my preaching, but there's how many of you like the vision? Amen. I want it not to be about us. I want it to be about people who are far from God. Jesus sacrificed his life to reach all of us. And if we want to be like him, can we sacrifice just a little? I'm not asking you for money. Do what God tells you to do on that part. But I'm asking you to partner up with me and my team and reach this community. And bring people who are far from God into close relationship with Jesus. There was a day when I was like many of them, and you were like many of them, far from God. And he changed my life. And today, I'm so happy. When I heard that song that I heard 15 years ago, sometimes you don't see what God is doing until you look back a few years. Can you turn the piano just a little down, guys? You don't see what God is doing. But then when you look back where you were and where you're now, some of you might expect a fast, quick fix miracle. I don't know if God does that a lot. He can do miracles. I guarantee you, it's with God, it's a long-term process. It's a lifetime process. I guarantee you will never be the same if you truly give your life to Him.